Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you're doing well. We're back at it again here on a miserable night. Could have been snowing. I wish I needed snow. I need the full miserable experience. But the rain and the cool conditions there in South Philly in NFC East brouhaha. And it was just like spitting at the Eagles and Giants, which is good because these teams are the equivalent of having a loogie spat in your face watching the Eagles and Giants play. And it was billed in the production meeting on the television side. They pumped up the fact that it was a Eli Manning swan song game, and it was Elijah Manning's return as quarterback of the Giants. Now, it sounds like he's going to play the rest of the year. And the first half, if you look at some of the things that were being said there, well, instant classic, and of course the game dragged on and on and on and on and on and on. It would not end. The game kept going. I wanted it to end. I needed the game. It would not, literally and figuratively, the game spilled into overtime, and if you saw the game, Philadelphia, trailing the entire night, methodically came back, and in overtime, they were able to matriculate the ball down the field there. 8-play, 75-yard touchdown drive, and they end up getting the win, capped off by Carson Wentz, 2-yard touchdown pass to Zach Ertz. That was the game winner. Keep in mind, though, if you bet on the Giants, you won some money because the Giants did cover the spread. Gave that pick out on Benny versus the Penny. Now, typically, the better story is in the losing locker room, but talking about the Giants is pretty depressing. We will talk about them a little bit, but the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that's a playoff team. They're a losing team still, Philadelphia, but at the moment, they're right there neck and neck.
Playoffs?
It's a two-horse race, but each horse only has three legs. Hoppity-hop. Down the stretch we come in the NFC East. So let's discuss. Now, yeah, one of them is going to the Glue Factory. Actually, both of them should go to the Glue Factory the way they played here. The big takeaways from the Monday night Donnybrook in Philly. I've got Muddy Waters, Music Festival, and Ingredients. And we will combine all these things together. Now, there used to be a TV show, I don't know if it's still on, called The Wide World of Sports. And they had this big open, and it's not on anymore, but they had this big open. It's on YouTube, you know, spanning the globe to bring you the variety or constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the human drama of athletic competition, right? That's big open. I remember watching that when I was a kid. And, of course, in terms of this game, it was the agony of victory and the thrill of defeat, as it turned out. So do not let the ending, a Philadelphia win on a 75-yard touchdown waltz down the field, do not let that ending erase what was pathetic pigskin. Keep in mind, the Giants, at 2-10 starting the night, led a team that is likely going to host a playoff game. If they win, Philadelphia will host a playoff game because they'll be a division winner on Wild Card Weekend. And that Giant team, which just blows, and they led up until the final part of the game there where Philadelphia was able to tie it. And the thing about the Eagles is that they are flying through some dark clouds. They are swimming through some muddy waters, the Philadelphia Eagles there. And the apologists for Carson Wentz have no end. I'm making all kinds of excuses, even in victory. Now, Carson Wentz played pretty well in the second half. Of course, he was terrible the first half of the game. And he's got to be the most insulated man in a town in Philadelphia, which prides itself as being a very tough sports town, it's never Carson Wentz's fault. And is Philadelphia shorthanded yet? Did Alshon Jeffrey get hurt during the game? Yes, he did. Did Lane Johnson get carted off at one point? Yes, he did. Absolutely correct. And were there a bunch of no-name guys that looked like they had been pushing shopping carts last week who were playing at receiver for Philadelphia? Absolutely. But, I mean, let's put a fork in that. The Giants, the New York Giants, you know what their style of defense is? Cookie dough. They have a cookie dough defense, the Giants they play. They have the NFL's 23rd ranked defense that was coming into the game. And those numbers are inflated because the Giants haven't, I don't know if you know this, they haven't played the toughest of competition there. So they're actually should be worse. They played some better competition. And Carson Wentz played well in the second half. That's fine. He had a couple of touchdowns, including the overtime, and a pretty solid passer rating. But the game should not have had to come down to the final seconds and have to have a game-winning drive and go to overtime and find Zach Ertz for a game-winning score in overtime. That is a referendum on everyone associated with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a bad job by them. And this is a game you knew you had to have after you blew a game last week against the Miami Dolphins, another terrible team you played. I don't think there's much difference at all between the Giants and the Miami Dolphins. In fact, the Dolphins, I guess, are better, but not by much. All right, now part B of this. Now, I had to hit the mute button. I don't know if you're like me, but I had hit the mute button several times during the Monday night game. Now, why is that? Because I had nausea. I had nausea because it was nauseating how the broadcasters, here's what it sounded like when they were showing Eli Manning coming out of the huddle. Slobber, 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 lick, lick. That's how it was when Eli Manning was coming out of the huddle. It was hero worship. It was lavishing him with praise. This was not an NFL game, right? This was a music festival. It was like Woodstock. Free love. We love Eli Manning. Oh, my. It was like twisted reality. Slobber, slobber, slobber. Yes! That's what it sounded like. Now, I believe in facts over feelings. Eli Manning has never been more than an average quarterback. He happened to play a long time, and he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. Any adult knows that Eli Manning is not a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know that we want to go down that road. He's not an elite player. Hall of Fame is an elite player category. He's not an elite player. I don't give out lifetime achievement awards. Maybe you do. You're a bad person if you do. Same argument applies. We talked about Frank Gore. I said Frank Gore is not a Hall of Famer. Frank Gore is one of the all-time great running backs in NFL history. Frank Gore could end up maybe the second all-time leading rusher in NFL history. Not a Hall of Famer. Right? Lifetime achievement. Played a long time. Congratulations. Give him a gold watch. Give him a trophy. But you don't give him a Hall of Fame appearance because you played a long time, but you were average or slightly above average your entire career. That's what Eli Manning is. Eli Manning was only great at one thing, throwing interceptions. That's it. That's it. A couple of fluke playoff runs, that's a great team accomplishment. But if you judge Eli Manning on his full body of work, not a Hall of Famer. Jim Plunkett, two Super Bowls with the Raiders, not a Hall of Famer. If you're going to say that Jim Plunkett's not a Hall of Famer, then I'm going to say Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer. And I got, bam, I can make the same argument about Jim Plunkett you can make about Eli Manning, and Plunkett's not a Hall of Famer. And
the greatness of the Raiders.
At this point, I don't think he's going to get in at all. I mean, why he waited so long here? I mean, it's not going to happen. Say it like it is. And I like the Giants, though. You know, all these coaches are getting fired, you know, randomly around the NFL, but Pat Shurmur continues on leading the Titanic. It's just outstanding. I mean, you know, you're heading towards the iceberg, and you're like, you know, we'll just leave him out. Yeah, he's all right. We like his snotty, arrogant news conferences.
Done.
And just gets better and better and better.
Let's talk football, not drama.
Exactly. Well, speaking of that, here is Pat Shurmur. The Giants now 2-11, and they are right there. If the Bengals can win one more game, the Giants have a chance to get the number one pick in the draft. Think about that. That is an impressive accomplishment for Big Blue. I'm old enough to remember when the Giants used to be a great team, used to win. Not anymore. They blow. But anyway, here's Pat Shurmur, who never has anything nice to say.
I have no thoughts on that. You know, we lost the game tonight, and I think that's what we're talking about. Unfortunately, that's our reality right now. I have no thoughts on that other than the fact that we lost the game tonight.
No thoughts on anything. You have no thoughts on what? All right. Here's more. Elijah Manning commenting on his performance. I don't think a lot of people realize he sucked. Judging by the media reaction, they think he was good. I'm trying to figure how that is. But here's Eli talking about his discombobulated performance.
30 yards of offense in the second half. What was different from the first half of the second half? Didn't seem like the explosive plays were there. Couldn't really air it out.
I think that's exactly it. Just didn't hit. Didn't hit the.
What the hell was that? Did somebody put that in our system here? Wow. It's not my style to put people and throw them under the bus, but that is very unprofessional. The soundbite like that would be put into the system. Play that again. This is a network radio show, and this soundbite was put. Play that. Go ahead, play.
30 yards of offense in the second half. What was different from the first half of the second half? Didn't seem like the explosive plays were there. Couldn't really air it out.
I think that's exactly it. Just didn't hit. Didn't hit the.
Well, just cut it off mid-word. We don't need to hear the rest of the word or the words that follow that by. We don't need that. Wow. I'm reluctant. I don't know. Should we play more of this? I don't know. We want to play more of this here. This is all right, why not? I'm a glutton for punishment here. Why not? Here's one more from Eli Manning. We'll see if we get a full word out of him. Here's Eli and talking about that first half. Because why talk about the second half? You want to talk about the first half.
Obviously, would have liked to got the win. Thought we had a great, great first half and gave ourselves a chance. And second half offense, we just did not do hardly anything. So put our defense in a bind there on the field too long, and we got to find, we got to score some points in the second half.
Oh, see, that was a fine. That soundbite was wonderful. It's a perfect soundbite. Perfect 10. All right, beginning, middle, end. Not beginning, middle. I'm gonna teach a class on audio editing. I'll be doing that Saturday mornings. You can come to my class on how to learn how to edit audio for broadcast. All right, last word here. So the Eagles and Cowboys are dead even in the NFC East race for futility. Doug Peterson. Now, Pat Shermer is going to be fired, and he will be someone's coordinator next year. And broadcasters will talk about how great a guy Pat Shermer is and all that blah, 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 blah. But Doug Peterson, he's not getting it done. Either he's done a bad job or the talent has been greatly embellished in Philadelphia. Right? Because the ingredients supposedly are there for a Super Bowl team. They were pumping up the Eagles before the year, they being the media in Philadelphia and the people around the Eagles. But the ingredients have produced. It's like you expect to have this five-star meal and you end up getting a rather bland, flavorless meal. That's a bland, flavorless team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly just doesn't have an edge to them. And even in victory, they don't have an edge to them. So, well, they came back. They played a big second half. And I didn't feel it. Did you watch the game? Did you feel like this is a team that's going somewhere, the Philadelphia Eagles? I did not get that feeling. I didn't. They just don't have that moxie that some past Eagle teams had. And it's a case where they are often in these games unresponsive for large chunks of the game. And it's still, I keep saying, watching this team play, that there's enough guys who are still part of that Super Bowl team that won a couple years ago that they got a lot of fat and happy guys on this team that they're still celebrating that championship from a couple years ago. Just listless. The struggle is real for the Philadelphia Eagles, for some of these players here. I do not see any kind of sense of urgency. And there's just this general indifference for Philadelphia. That is just the way it is. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. If you would like to partake, we will release the hounds, and the lines will open up. And let me tell you something. This is a sampling of America. We're on hundreds of radio stations all over the country. Big cities, small towns, you name it, we are there. in the shadows, in the bright lights. And this is a very small sound. Most people will never call a radio show. They've done studies on this. I've been in radio a long time. It's like less than 1% of people that listen to a radio show will ever call, either because, A, for my show here in this time slot, you're either trying to sleep and you're listening because you can't sleep, you got insomnia, but you don't really want to call because that would mean you got to stay on hold, or yeah, you're just nervous, you don't want to get on the radio because it's kind of nerve-wracking, you know, I will goof on you, you don't want to do that, right, so you won't call because of that, I gotcha. Or you don't know the number and I talk too fast, I don't give out the number, that's a reason a lot of people don't call. Or you have nothing to say, which is a really good reason not to call. If you have nothing to say, that's a great reason not to call. Boy, that's a really good one. That's number one on the list. I have nothing to say, do not call. Or you're at work and you'll lose your job if you call. That's a good one. You don't want to lose your job over a stupid radio show. So there's a lot of reasons people don't call. But I'll give out the number 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369 if you'd like to be part of the show. And if I know this is not scratch and sniff radio, but if it was scratch and sniff radio, you would smell the odor of garlic, because I have been using garlic therapy for the last 24 hours here. There's a nice aroma. You smell that? The pungent odor of garlic. Wonderful, glorious garlic. My home remedy. That's right. It'll treat everything except the gallbladder. It'll fix everything except the gallbladder. I can't help you with your gallbladder. I cannot do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I hope you're doing all right. And a lot of hemming and hawing over the last week. We talked about it here on the radio, Magic Radio Box. And sure enough, the ruling has come down. Remember that James Harden dunk that wasn't a dunk? It should have counted, but it didn't count in the loss to the Spurs about a week ago. Well, we now have a ruling from the league office, and if you didn't hear all the details, the NBA announced on Monday that it had denied the Rockets' protest. So they had full investigation, not a partial investigation, not a half-ass, not a pansy investigation, full investigation. The full Monty. And they spent a lot of time, unless they didn't. But they investigated. They looked into it. And the NBA did announce that it is not going to happen for the Rockets. They issued a prepared statement. And the commissioner, Adam Silver, agreed that the referees did misapply the rules on the play. So why didn't the NBA side with the Rockets? Well, Commissioner Adam Silver determined that the Rockets had sufficient time to overcome the error during the remainder of the fourth quarter and the two overtime periods. As a result of that, the extraordinary remedy, the NBA said, of granting a game a protest was not warranted, according to the statement. The league also announced that they did discipline all three referees in the game for misapplying the challenge rules. They're going to cut down on their per diem. They're going to have to eat fast food now instead of five-star steakhouses when they go on the road. That's the way it is. And of course, referees are on the road all the time. So let's discuss the question. Did Adam Silver get it right? The answer, 1,000%. 1,000%. So I've got the trick shot, the vanishing act, and the franchise charter. And we will put all these things together. Now, number one.
Number one.
Adam Silver, who gets roasted on this show. He gets charbroiled on this show all the time. Right? Typically, he's the guy that gets walked over. We take our gratuitous cheap shots at him. But this is a baby step for the NBA commissioner. Is he growing a backbone? Is Adam Silver growing a spine? Now, the Rockets did have no case, and that made it easy. Mistakes are made. Officials are fallible and all that, and humans are prone to error. And the most amazing part of the James Harden dunk, and I don't know that I'll remember it over time because there's so many different things that pop up here, and you forget about it. Something else will go into your mind. But because of the internet, it'll always be there. But the thing about the Harden dunk is it was an optical illusion. It was unreal. Like, in real time, watching the clip, the video clip, in the line of sight the officials had, it certainly looked like the ball came out. Like, it went through so fast. He dunked it. It went through so fast and then bounced back up. It's like he took two shots for one. And it was like some YouTube trick shot video where, you know, try to do that again. All right, I'm going to slam it, and then I'm going to miss it on the after I slam it through. Slam, and then it comes right back out and bounces off the rim. Couldn't do that. I can give you a trampoline and give you a basketball or five basketballs and tell you, all right, here's 3 hours. Make that same exact play happen. Wouldn't be able to do it. Now, listen, the referees, the argument about the replay thing is a legitimate argument here. I mean, you look at the way the replay, if you when you watch the above the backboard replay, it's like, oh, boy. Ooh, that was bad. But at court level or just from the side, it looks like it went out. So yeah, the referees certainly could have gone to replay. They botched that. But nevertheless, Houston did not lose that particular game because of the call. And for that, Adam Silver gets a rare attaboy from our show because he got it right. And that blown call happened with 7:50 left in the fourth quarter. And the Rockets leading by 13 points. San Antonio came back. Now, they obviously won the game in double overtime. Double overtime! That's why everyone got all freaked out from Houston. But Adam Silver is correct. The Rockets had plenty of time to overcome the mistake. And someone named Lonnie Walker, I don't even know who that is. Lonnie Walker, I guess he's a professional basketball player for San Antonio, scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. For the Spurs. And for that reason alone, the fact that the Rockets let somebody named Lonnie Walker score 19 points in the fourth quarter, they deserved to not have this decision overruled. Now, the second point. So James Harden and Mike D'Antoni can jump up and down and run to the wambulance, right? And, you know, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, all that stuff. But for those that say, and I've gotten some of this on social media, so, well, this is the same as the NFC Championship game. Shut up. All right, let's examine that. Right, let's examine the differences between what happened in the NFC Championship game and this. You know, the idea that there's a correlation between these two things, this is patternicity. Human beings always trying to find patterns in things where there are no patterns here. But it's not like this is, you know, the Rocket apologist is like, well, this is going to cost them a higher seed. They're going to be one game behind the Clippers, and then this is going to be the game, and if they should have won the game, and the NBA screwed them over, and now they're going to be a lower seed, now they're going to have a play on the road, and you know, shut up. Now, first of all, I don't think James Harden's that concerned about it, so you shouldn't be that concerned about it, but this is a regular season NBA game in early December, for God's sakes. No one's even watching the NBA until Christmas. They rip me all the time when I talk about the NBA. They're like, what's wrong with you, moron? Moron Maller talking about the NBA before Christmas. What's wrong with you? And but Houston did have so many opportunities to win that game, and they blew it. Just like the Saints, though, that is similar. The Saints in the NFC title game last year had multiple opportunities, and they choked. Will Lutz kicked a 31-yard field goal with 1:45 left in the game. At home, New Orleans, with the crowd behind them and elite defense, could not allow that second-rate Jared Goff from matriculating the ball down the field for a game-tying field goal attempt. And then got the ball first in overtime, won the coin toss, go down, score a touchdown, win the game. Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees, throws an interception that led to a Greg Zuerlein game-winning field goal, game, set, match. And then you started seeing the fireworks out of the bayou. And the Saints had multiple chances to win that game, and they choked. The Rockets had many more chances than the Saints did, and they also blew it. Now, the thing that you will not hear on these radio shows and you will not read in columns that are written on the internet about this, you will only hear here, is the vanishing act, which gets completely overlooked. James Harden, after that slam dunk went in and out, from that point for the rest of the game, you know what? He took 17 shots. You know how many of those shots he made? 3 of them. He was 3 of 17 the rest of the night. final 7:50 of the game plus the double overtime. How about Russell Westbrook? Maybe Westbrook stepped up. No, he was 2 of 10 from the floor. So James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the two MVPs, were 5 of 27 after. And that's how you blow a 13-point lead against San Antonio. Houston shot, for the rest of that game, they shot less than 26%. You deserve to lose. When you shoot less than 26% down the stretch of an NBA game, you should lose 100% of the time. That's it. Period. Hard stop. Final point. So the Rockets franchise charter is to complain, and then complain some more. Okay. Nonstop about the officials. And it's not just the players. It's the coaches. It's the executives. It's the fans. It's everyone associated with the team. Remember when they played Golden State in the Western Conference playoffs? It seemed like every year, and they blamed the officials. Remember the nerds from the Rockets sent out this manifesto about how there were all these blown calls that all affected the Rockets? Remember that? I remember.
Loser. Yeah. Loser.
A bunch of Ivy League nerds. Poindexters is what they are there. And they claimed unfairness, and they love to play the victim card. We are victims. Woe is us. We're victims. And it's insufferable and unbearable. But it doesn't matter. They're not going to win anything. So it actually makes it more fun because it'll be more painful when they do not get it done. And it does make for some good sports talk radio. But it's never ending. It's that part of it is slightly distressing. Slightly distressing. All right, Ben Maller Show on Fox. As we press on, we'll take some more phone calls here. I also wanted to mention, speaking of the NBA, my second favorite NBA player, the great Paul George. Boy, I didn't realize how good Paul George was until he put on a Clipper uniform. Suddenly he got really good as a Clipper. But Paul George was back in Indiana last night. And it was Boo Major. It was Boo Paul George night. Now, that would be interesting if it wasn't like his third time back to Indiana. They haven't let it go. I get it. You know, he's wearing the wrong laundry, and he didn't want to be there. I understand why they're booing. But it sounds like Paul George does not like the boos. And his anger, nobody likes to be booed, but he really doesn't like it. And he gave some cryptic quotes. I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if we have the audio in the system or not. I don't know. I can read the quotes here. But now Paul George had 36 points and 9 rebounds. The Clippers, I was actually surprised they won this game as easy as they did because load management. I did not watch this game because of load management. I have a deal with the Clippers. When Kawhi Leonard chooses not to play, I deem the game not important, so I don't watch. But I did keep an eye on the box score to see what was going on in the game. And the Clippers led pretty much the entire game. They dominated the Pacers. So I was surprised by that. I didn't think that was going to be the case. But Paul George played very well. The Clippers won by 11. But then after the game, he was asked about being booed yet again, you know, Mr. Indiana Pacer, PG-13 and all that. And he said, quote, "I am not surprised. That's Indiana for you. It's a Hoosier thing," was the quote. Then he danced around Paul George. He danced around. He said, "You know, someday I'll do a tell-all and tell the leading events of how I left Indiana. And I promise you, I'm not the one to boo." Then George, he was asked about that to follow up. He says, "I'm not going to share the teaser," Paul George said, regarding his book about the Pacers, his tell-all book. He says, "I like being the villain. I'm here two nights out of the year. The people they should boo are here a lot longer than I am." Ooh. See, I think he said, "I'm not going to share the teaser." He then shared the teaser, right? He's clearly taking a shot. Let's play detective here. He's either taking a shot at ownership or some executive in the front office, right? I mean, that's it. Who else could it be? Right? Because the roster's changed over a little bit since he's been there a couple of years ago. So he's got to be taking a shot at ownership and the general manager, people in the front office. I don't even know if that's changed over or not. Maybe that's different now. I don't know. But a couple of thoughts on Paul George. A, I love him as a Clipper, and this might only last this year and next year, and I'm fine with that. If that happens, I'm okay with that. If it's only a couple of years, but it's good. And he's been better than I thought. I heard all this doom and gloom because he had both his shoulders operated on and how terrible he was going to be, and he's been fine. Now, I do know from doing playoff radio talk on the NBA from Paul George in the past that he has had his own vanishing act in the playoffs. I'm a little concerned about that, but we'll deal with that obstacle when we get to that obstacle. We don't need to deal with that right now. I don't need to worry about that because there was a study done years ago, I think it was the University of Cincinnati, that 85% of the things we worry about in life do not happen. Did you know that? 85% of the things that we worry about do not happen. The other 15% are death and taxes. Those things do happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop de loop.
The Steelers have now gone officially straight 16 straight years without a losing season. Now, Mike Tomlin is getting a lot of the credit for the team's success this year without Ben Roethlisberger, with many handing him Coach of the Year honors already.
Yeah.
Ben, does Tomlin deserve all the credit?
You know, I hate to do this because it goes against my DNA, but yeah, Mike Tomlin has done a hell of a job this year, and I have had him fired multiple times behind the microphones of Fox Sports Radio, but... This has been his masterpiece. Mike Tomlin has done a better job this season than when he won a Super Bowl with Bill Cowher's leftovers. Pittsburgh was 0-3. They were all but buried, and they've gone, 8-2 since then with a mostly outcasts and rejects, a hodgepodge of players, specifically on the offense. I mean, the Steelers' defense has been great. It's been ferocious all year. But if I had announced before the year that Pittsburgh, they would lose Roethlisberger, we know they lost Antonio Brown and all that, but even the replacements like Juju Smith-Schuster and Connor and these guys, the guys that were supposed to step up and be big-time players have not been big-time players. This is worthy of praise. This is solid coaching. He's coaching players up, which is what you're supposed to do. A guy named Duck Hodges, for God's sakes, is being an effective NFL quarterback. So, yeah, Mike Tomlin has done a great job. Now, it's not over yet, right? I mean, they could still fall in the ditch and still blow it, but at this point, yes. Next.
Now, yesterday you mentioned how it's being reported that the Yankees have offered Gerrit Cole $245 million. Strasburg just got $245 million.
Yeah.
But when I was talking about this with Roberto, he said that he thinks this is only the beginning and the contract that Cole ends up signing will be worth $300 million. Do you agree, Ben?
Well, I didn't agree until I saw what Strasburg got. And then when I saw what Strasburg got, it's like it's an unavoidable. It's trending that direction. I mean, number one, we're still hearing the economy of baseball. We talked about this earlier. The economy's broken. The attendance is down in sports. You know, it's on life support, the sport of baseball. And I thought this would end up where Cole got $280 million. I believe that the number would be $280 million. That works out to $40 million per year over 7 years, $280 million. Now the price is likely in a different galaxy, although a lot of these rumors are being fed by agents, so we'll find out whether this actually happens or not. Now, secondly, in order for Gerrit Cole to get the $330 million, which some are saying now he's going to get, then to make that pay off, he's going to have to increase attendance, and he's only going to pitch one out every five games and all that, but this is the dream scenario. There's one big stud pitcher left at this moment, and that's Gerrit Cole, who's in his prime, and you've got the Yankees, Angels, Dodgers, and other high-stakes gamblers that all want a piece of him. So Scott Boras could not have asked for a better situation. All right, next!
Now, Ben, we are seeing more and more reports that Odell Beckham wants out of Cleveland. Yesterday, Baker Mayfield threw his own training staff under the bus, saying they didn't handle Odell's injury right.
Yeah.
So do you think a change of scenery would eventually lead to Odell Beckham returning to his elite form?
I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen with Odell Beckham. He is navigating right now to get out of Cleveland. I think we all agree on that. He will be a Dallas Cowboy next season. Okay, he will be a Dallas Cowboy. The Cowboys will not re-sign Mr. Dropsies. Okay. And Amari Cooper, who wants to be a Cowboy, will not be a Cowboy. Jerry's going to go out and save Odell Beckham and bring him to Dallas. That is my, I'm calling my shot right now. Odell Beckham will play for the Dallas Cowboys next year. But I believe in Odell. I would not bet against this guy. We've seen the ebb and flow of receivers in different generations. Guys, Randy Moss looked like he was done with the Raiders. He went to the Patriots and he set the record for touchdowns. T.O., who's very similar to Odell Beckham, Terrell Owens, had some really down numbers compared to his other years. You know, the it's up and down, kind of like relief pitchers or kickers. They're hot and cold, but I believe in Beckham. All right, there it is. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
Another win at the buzzer!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's introduce our contestants for the game. Don't play the open. Let's just introduce the contestants. We've got Mallers Mountain of Money, Rigo in LBC land. Hello, Rigo.
Hello, Big Ben.
What's going on, Rigo? What are you doing in the LBC?
I'm doing work, moving America.
Ah, I like it. All right, that's a good, that's a very masculine sounding horn. All right, hold on a sec. And who else do we have? Manuel in Gardena. Hello, Manuel.
Harbor area battle. I like it. Also, rest in peace, Wolfman Jack, who appeared on Scooby-Doo. You remember that, Benny?
I don't off the top of my head. I probably saw it, though. I probably saw it. I don't remember. All right, hold on a sec, man. Well, Rigo, who do you want to partner up with? Me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, or Coop the Loop?
Let's go with Coop since he got me on the show, but I dedicate this win to the birthday boy, Roberto. Feliz cumpleaños.
All right.
Thank you.
And Manuel, who do you want to partner up with, Manuel?
Oh, well, he just gave us the win, so I'm taking my boy, Roberto, Raiders.
Roberto, that's the matchup. It's going to be the Kirk Douglas edition. You want to... I'll give the category
racist
since Coop's playing.
It's 103 years old as of yesterday.
Still alive?
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I mean, he's alive, but he's not really alive. Oh. You know, I mean, he's,
disrespectful.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. All right, man without a star, for love or money, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, once is not enough. Rigo, pick the category.
Once is not enough.
All right, once is not enough. That'll be the category for you, Rigo, and Koopa Loop. And then, Manuel, you've got Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and For Love or Money, and Man Without a Star.
Oh, we're going Jekyll and Hyde, baby.
All right, very good. Everyone hold on there. Do not hang up, and we will get... I still can't get over that guy from Iowa. That was hilarious. All right, we will get to Maller's Mountain of Money. We'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
It is the Kirk Douglas edition, guys. We're going to have Rigo. We've already got the teams here. Rigo and the LBC in SoCal is going to be teamed up with. That would be the Coop the Loop. And then Manuel in Gardena, a regular, is with the birthday boy, Roberto. And Rigo, you picked once is not enough. These athletes have all been drafted twice. And Coop will give you the clues. You must give us the first and last name. This is timed, so you got to go quick. You got 45 seconds. Coop, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
All right, quarterback for the Cowboys in the 90s, won a bunch of Super Bowls.
Troy Aikman.
Yes, he was the coach of the Showtime Lakers. He's the team president for the Miami Heat right now.
Pat Riley.
Yes, he was the quarterback for the Vikings, threw a bunch of touchdowns to Randy Moss.
Refar.
No, for the Vikings. Before that, he was a black quarterback. He was on the cover of Madden,
Cunningham.
I believe.
Randall Cunningham.
No. We're going to move to the next one. Third baseman for the Cubs right now. He's probably going to be traded.
Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo.
Nope.
Chris Bryant.
Yes. Former coach of the Jaguars and the Raiders. He was a linebacker for USC. It's got three names.
All right. That was, you're trying to get Jack Del Rio. You didn't get Dante Culpepper. What is that, Eddie? What
70 points.
70 points. All right.
All right.
70
it's
points.
It's not, you know, disastrous.
Not very good.
I always look forward to Roberto doing this because he's got a very, his cadence, when Roberto does it, is very unique, the way that he gives these clues. It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. All right, so you picked, Manuel, you picked Roberto and you picked Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. These athletes are great sometimes and terrible at other times. And again, we need the first and last name. And Roberto, 45 seconds on the clock, and you're on your way. Go.
Current Trailblazer, Banana Bowl buddy with LeBron James.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
Yep. Current Miami QB. He's got a beard. He's a journeyman QB. White guy.
Patrick.
Oh, I can't hear this.
He said it. I heard him say it.
Free agent shooting guard. He smoked a lot of weed. Won a championship with LeBron.
Yeah.
Ex-twin, third baseman, won the World Series in 87. Two-time All-Star. Ex-Miami center. He got traded to the Blazers this year. He had signed a bad contract with the Heat. Over $100 million. Heisman Trophy winning QB for USC. Drafted by the Bengals. Oh, man. Can't even hear this guy. Man.
I know, man.
What the hell's going on your phone, man?
Man, you got to pick up the phone, dude. I know that's, you're working. But
60 points, you're 10 points
behind. And who's driving? Roll up your window, man.
All right.
Can't hear you.
Calm down. Gary, you didn't get Gary Gaetti. Who else?
Hassan Whiteside.
Carson Palmer. All right, so that means Roberto gets to go again here. You have For Love or Money and Man Without a Star. Manuel, are you there, Manuel?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can't hear you, okay. Manuel. What are you in a hurricane?
What's going on, dude?
Not at all.
All right. I can hear you. All right. For Love of Money or Man Without a Star, hurry up. Oh my God!
Pick a category.
For love of money.
All right. These athletes are all in it for love, not money. They took pay cuts.
10
for the
to
team.
Tie and 20.
All right, you're on your way.
Lead.
45 seconds. Go.
Big fundamental. 5-time champion with the Spurs. This German won the title with the Dallas Mavericks.
You're in the lead.
Nicknamed the Bus. Ex-Ram and Steeler.
Yes.
All right.
This ex-safety, Cardinal safety, he went to war and he died. He was killed. What did he say?
He hasn't said it yet. He's guessing.
It's Pat. This point guard from the Sacramento Kings had a dad that played with USC, coached at USC. Point guard. Played with the King.
Yeah, he got it.
This catcher played with the Twins.
Pat Tillman. Oh, he got that one too.
You guys gave him Pat. So that doesn't count.
Well, he said Pat.
No, he was saying pass.
It doesn't count.
No, he was saying pass.
He was saying pass.
More importantly, there's not enough time left for Coop to play. So that means that Roberto on his birthday wins.
What BS.
Well, listen, that's what happens. It works out that way sometimes. I'm going to tell you, man.